Excited. We praise God. We're here. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit brought you here this morning. It's no accident that you're here. God has some wonderful things that He wants to show us through His Word. There are some devotional books and Bibles. I've not written the Bibles, I want to clarify that, but devotional books you might be interested in. Some materials out on the welcome, whatever it is, cabinet. And I just want to say a big thank you to many of you who have supported my ministry and obviously have spent a lot of time coming to First Baptist and feel like it's like a second home for me. This morning, we're going to talk about something that I think you'll find very relevant. Obviously, 9/11, that was an excellent video clip, both of them, that we saw dealing with the tragedies of 9/11. I would like to start out this morning by sharing something that was written, Franklin Graham. A lot of you don't, anybody here not know who Billy Graham is? When I talk to young people, a lot of who I talk to, they never heard of Billy Graham before, but a great evangelist, one of probably the greatest of all times, and his son wrote this. It was in a May 2013 newsletter. Recently, I was at a White House meeting with Vice President Joe Biden, had the opportunity to remind him that our main problem in America is that we've taken God out of our society and out of our government. We need God's word and His laws now more than ever. Disobedience to God's word and His laws has wreaked havoc across the political, economic, and spiritual landscape of our country. There's scandal after scandal, and yet our nation's leaders seem even more belligerent towards Christianity. If we hold up God's standard, we are accused of being intolerant. Tolerance is one of today's hot buttons, but in reality, the true and fast-growing intolerance is for Christianity, anything that stands for Jesus Christ. Christians must never compromise their allegiance to the Savior, no matter what others may think. The Lord is looking for men and women who will fully commit their hearts, souls, and lives to His kingdom. Now, I'm not sure I say this a lot. If this is Franklin Graham or me, you can take it from whoever you want. And that's the fact that I believe we are living in a time with what is evil is called good, and what is good is called evil. Well, let's see if I can paint a picture for you this morning. A lot of you probably haven't been involved. How many of you had an accident? Well, you could be young and had an accident, okay. How many of you, if you're too young, your parents would do this, but has anybody here ever filled out one of those accident reporting forms? Anybody done that? Well, you're going to get a clue how maybe to do it or not do it. I'm going to share with you a story. You've got to use your imagination when I speak. You have to think outside of the box here sometimes. You ready? Dear sir, I am writing in response to your request for additional information. In block number 3 of the accident reporting form, I put the cause of my accident. You said in your letter that I should explain more fully, and I trust that the following details will be sufficient. I am a bricklayer by trade. On the day of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a new 6-story building. When I completed my work, I discovered that I had about 500 pounds of bricks left over. Rather than carry the bricks down by hand, I decided to lower them in a barrel by using a pulley, which fortunately was attached to the side of the building at the 5th floor level. Catch this. Securing the rope at ground level, I went up to the roof, swung the barrel out, and loaded the bricks into it. Then I went back to the ground and untied the rope, holding it tightly to ensure a slow descent of the 500 pounds of bricks. You will note in block number 11 of the accident reporting form that I weigh only 135 pounds. Due to my surprise to being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded at a rather rapid rate up the side of the building. In the vicinity of the third floor, I met the barrel coming down. This explains my fractured skull and broken collarbone. Slowed only suddenly, I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping until the fingers of my right hand were two knuckles deep into the pulley. Fortunately, by this time I had regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of my pain. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel now weighed approximately 50 pounds. I refer you again to my weight in block number 11. As you might imagine, I began a very rapid descent down the side of the building. In the vicinity of the third floor, I met the barrel coming up. This accounted for my two fractured ankles and the lacerations of my legs and lower body. The encounter with the barrel slowed me enough to lessen my injuries when I fell onto the pile of bricks. Fortunately, only three vertebrae were cracked. I am sorry to report, however, that as I lay there on the bricks in pain, unable to stand, and watching the empty barrel six stories above me, I again lost my presence of mind. I let go of the rope. Well, my friends, this morning God's brought us here to talk about, with all the tragedies, all the hurt, all the pain, how do we keep on keeping on? How do we stand strong for Jesus Christ? We're going to talk about, if you'll take out your outline, we have a living hope. Okay? Good news, we don't come around and check them, but they're there if you'd like to use them. And I can honestly say to you, the purpose of doing this is not just to get you to take notes, but you can go home and think through better what God wants to say through His Holy Spirit. And I believe what's on that paper, as you go in with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to help some friends or family members as well. Before we do that, we need to have a word of prayer. I don't know what you're comfortable with, and I've been here a long time, and I don't take people out of their comfort zone, but whether you want to do this or not, I like to submit myself to the Lord. In a moment, I'm going to lead in prayer. And I'm going to ask you before I do that, if you would just feel comfortable, just open up your hands to God as signifying that you want to open your heart and mind to Him. Or however you're comfortable, you just, you know, have that position. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you so much that, God, you are in control. That, God, nothing takes you by surprise. And when we see these tragedies, not just 9/11, but when we see these tragedies daily going on, Father God, we're reminded that you are in control. I pray that your words would be my words. I pray that this message would be clear, it would be practical, it would be helpful. And God, help us not just to be hearing what it says, help us through the power of Jesus Christ in our lives to do what it says. It's in your strong and powerful name, Jesus Christ, that I pray. Amen. Well, everyone needs hope. This is not a revolutionary new idea for you. In studying in a sociology class, they did a lot of tests on, you read about this and shudder, where a parent or somebody was kidnapped and they're locked in a closet, only brought out periodically, or they're kept in a room, locked in a basement, whatever else. And we learned that these people, after a while, they have no hope. It changes them physically. It changes them mentally. To be alive and not have hope is like taking a fish and taking it out of the water and say, have a happy life over here. You know, it isn't going to happen. It isn't going to happen. We all need hope. Now, the basic question probably would be, well, what gives you hope? What gives you hope? I enjoy the young people. I've been with them a lot, so I could ask them one-on-one. There probably wouldn't be any problems. And most of you, if we were one-on-one, I think you probably would share as well. What really gives you hope? I just wrote down family, education, money, friends, music, sports, success, popularity, job, hunting, fishing. I did that for a few people here. Okay. What gives you hope? That's so important. Well, the Christian's hope is the resurrected Jesus Christ. And I believe, well, you have this in your notes, and it probably is, oops, I could look this way, couldn't I? It probably is coming up. Let's read together 1 Peter 1, 3. All right, are you ready? By the way, read together means out loud, okay? So here we go. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's like, wow! I have power over death. I have the resurrected Jesus Christ in my heart life. I have problems. I will have trials. I will have difficulties. But in the midst of all of that, my God has promised that He will take me through whatever I face. Something that many of you, it's like an acrostic, would be familiar with is the word grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's exactly what I have through Jesus Christ. Now, as I travel around and speak in with adults, young people, and crusades, and churches, retreats, what have you. It's interesting, we give an opportunity and people would come forward. I think of a 70-year-old gentleman who came forward at one of the services when gave an invitation. He said, Kent, I've gone to church almost all of my life. I've known about Jesus all that time. But Kent, I've realized that I have never personally prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and life. And this morning, I want to pray and receive Him. I want to surrender my life to Him. I want to know that I know that God would help me now, and I'll spend eternity with Him. Think of a young lady. I actually represent several that I've worked with. Young lady came forward in a service and said, you know, my dad is a pastor. And I say all of the right things at the right time to please the people I know want to hear what I'm saying. But Kent, I've never prayed to receive Christ in my heart and life. I've never made that commitment. Wow. Well, I'm going to have some fun. And guess what? I'm going to invite you to join me. One of my favorite people in Scripture is Peter. Why? Because I can relate to him. Peter is type A. Any type A people here beside me? You know, it's like, oh, let's get it done. Let's just go. What do you mean go over to this point? We're going directly. We're on our way. Peter knows how to stick his foot in his mouth. Trust me. And we'll see that today. Peter is one of those that gets, whoa, that's a great idea. Come on, we're going to go for it. Without thinking about the future consequences, okay? It just seemed like at the moment a good thing and he goes. So here we go. Pretty simple message. I'm pretty simple. Five D's that will tell us about the hopelessness that was in Peter's life before he yielded his life completely to Christ. Here we go. Number one, Peter disputed Jesus. And you get it up here, which is great. I thank Candace. She put this together for me as I sent it to her. Peter disputed Jesus. Now, I do this a lot, so just live with me. I could do it with them, so I'll do it with all of you. Oh, did I just hear you say we'd like to read that scripture together again? Yes, we can do that. Okay, here we go. Together. Keeps us focused. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Now, let's look at Peter. Peter's a fisherman. He grew up. He's a trained fisherman. He's looking at this rabbi, Jesus, who was what? A carpenter. And Peter could have said, I'm sure he might have been thinking it, Jesus, don't want to put you down, buddy, but you see, the best time of fishing is at night. Because once the sun comes up, the fish go down toward the bottom of the lake. You understand? But he didn't do that, did he? Now, to give you another just thought about disputing Jesus, let's imagine that we're in a third grade classroom, okay? The bell has rung. All of the little munchkins, third graders, they sit down, okay, obviously, in their desk. One little boy stands up. He keeps standing up. So the teacher looks at him and goes, Johnny, the bell has rung. You need to sit down. So Johnny begrudgingly goes around, sits down on his desk, and then he looks at his buddy who sits next to him that he was talking to, and he says to his buddy, hey, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. You know, I think we do that with God. Oh, we sing the right songs and we say the right things, but that isn't always what's going on in our heart or our mind. All right, let's go to number two. All right, Peter doubted Jesus. This is voluntary. If you want to read out loud with me, it's good. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Got that picture? Come, Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Now, a lot of people criticize Peter. I don't. I can relate. It's one of those things. You know, Jesus said something. Why do we need? We don't need to open up the scroll or whatever. Jesus said, yes, I'm going to do it. So, you know, man up, baby. And he steps out on the water. And I'm sure he's probably, ooh, this is cool. You know, I really like this. You know, he's into it. And he's got his eyes on Jesus. And then guess what happens? Whoa, the wind picks up. So he feels the wind in his face, and guess what else he feels the wind doing? I think there's water coming up my ankle. You know, and he starts thinking, I don't think it's good when you're walking on water and you've got the water starting to come up your ankles. We could have a problem here. And guess what he did? He took his eyes off of Jesus. And he started to go down. Fortunately, he yelled for help, and I'm sure Jesus knew that, was ready, and reached out to him. Wow. What about you? What about me? Have you taken your eyes off of Jesus Christ this week? Has something happened that upset you? Has somebody hurt you? Have you had a tragedy? Two football players. I'm from Fort Wayne, Indiana, in Auburn, Indiana. It would be a week ago, this past Friday night, I believe two varsity starting football players, they were on their way to the game, to the school, then obviously to play the football game. And for some reason, the young man, I think he was 17, crossed over the line. He was killed instantly. His buddy, his friend, his teammate was in Fort Wayne Hospital. And then he died about 4 or 5 days later. things happen. Things happen that catch us off guard. Wow. When they do, do you doubt? Or do you say, God, I don't understand this. I say, God, I don't even like it. But God, you love me. I can trust you. And I'm going to put my faith in you. I'm going to believe that you will give me the strength to go through this difficult situation. Number three, Peter disagreed with Jesus. Peter disagreed with Jesus. Again, if you want to join me out loud, feel free. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day he will be raised to life. Peter took him aside. Now, look at me for a second. You have the rabbi, the Messiah, that Peter has spent some time with. And Jesus starts saying, you know, I'm going to have these things happen to me. Okay? Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. He's saying, you know, you can count on me. I'm with you. I'm all in. Truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter, here it comes again. It's not said. It's Peter declared, going, Jesus, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. Let me ask you a question. Has there been a time this last week, this last month, whenever, when you had the opportunity to stand up for Jesus Christ and you chose to be silent? Wow. Peter deserted Jesus. Number five, rather unique. You know, I left out part of four, didn't I? When we went, let me go back up to four when I switched over here. Peter disagreed with Jesus. We read that scripture. Let's do that again. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. This is the other way. You've got the Messiah, and Peter is looking at him going, ah, Jesus? Yoo-hoo. Jesus, I think you're a little confused. I think you don't understand what's going on. That's what's happening here. And this is what he said. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human beings. What is Peter saying? He's saying, Jesus, you've got it all wrong. You don't understand. Now, the quality or characteristic here that I see in Peter is one that I have to struggle with. And that's Peter was selfish. You ever been selfish? You ever said to God, God, I know it says this, but God, do everything without grumbling and complaining. God, if you had to work with her, if you had to work with him, you'd be down here, you'd be grumbling and complaining too. God, you have no idea what it's like day in and day out. Do you follow what I'm saying? Wow, God has spoken. We're supposed to forgive, just like we're forgiven. We're supposed to apply God's word because God's word is true. And God's word will give us a greater witness to others when we follow it. Okay, we've gone through Peter deserted Jesus. Let's drop down to five. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with him. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him," but he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Wow. When was the last time you or I, in a way, disowned Jesus? Embarrassed Jesus. Thought only about ourselves. Well, I've got good news. Good news. We worship a God of second and third and fourth or whatever chances. And the scripture should be up here, Mark 16:4-8. We'll see if that's here. Okay. We're going to listen to me. Oh, we got it. Thank you. All right, here we go. Let's read this together. We'll do this one together again. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be afraid," he said. "You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter." Wow. Why did he just say, "Hey, go tell the disciples"? Go tell the disciples and Peter. He was saying, "Peter, I understand. My love has not changed for you, though you've disputed me, you've doubted me, you've disagreed with me, you've deserted me, and you've denied me. My love has never changed for you. And I am going to be with you. And I know you're going to do wonderful and powerful things as the Holy Spirit leads you." Well, let's think about that. Let's keep going here. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you in Galilee. Here we go. We'll read together. "There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Wow. Once again, what about me? What about you? This past week, have I disputed, doubted, disagreed with, deserted, or denied Jesus? I've got good news. Good news. No, I have great news. There's hope for you and me. There's hope for our family and friends. There's hope to anyone who puts their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Now, let's say out loud, we're going to do it twice, you will not disturb anybody else in the building. So don't be shy about saying this out loud. Okay? How about we do this together? A little excitement here. All right? It's right down there in your notes, but it's also up here. If there's hope for Peter, there's hope for me. Whew. Well, all of you that sounded good, there's half of us. We can leave now. I think we're done. I'm going to give you another chance, okay? Let's try this again. Here we go. If there's hope for Peter, there's hope for me. Watch this DVD clip closely.
Grace is God's unmerited favor for us, His crazy love. And the truth is, many times we struggle understanding it. If you find yourself struggling to understand God's grace, don't beat yourself up. Even the disciples struggled with understanding grace.
"Jesus, is that you? You're alive! I can't believe you're alive!" "Okay, I was in the boat and I wasn't catching any fish, okay? But I heard this voice and the voice said, 'Cast your net to the other side.' And so I'm thinking, I'm a fisherman, I know what I'm doing, but I'm not catching any fish, you know? And so I throw that net over there and then a gaggle of fish pop into that net and I'm going, 'This is a total miracle. Who could have done that? I need to know who told me to throw the net to the other side.' And boom, I look up and I mean, there is you. You're looking at me on the seashore going, 'It is I, the Lord, and you're alive. I can't believe you're alive. This is awesome. Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on.
Peter,
yeah. Do you love me?" "Yes, I love you. I love you. You're alive. This is so great."
"Good, then feed my sheep."
"Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on, man. It's him."
"Peter,
yeah.
Do you love me?"
"I love you. Yes. and I'm so sorry about that rooster clucking. I had no idea what that meant, but I do now. I'm better for it, all right? Okay.
Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, I'm smiling, but I'm serious. Come on, get out of the boat. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Jesus, mere words cannot describe the passion that I have for you. I love you. You know everything. I love you.
Good. Good. Then feed my sheep.
I didn't even know you had livestock. That is so like you, though. There's something new about you all the time. That's what I love about you.
Peter.
Yeah?
Do you remember the morning the ladies went to the tomb?
Yeah. We're all in the upper room trying to figure out what to do next, you know, because we thought you were dead. You know, you were dead, you know, and we're trying to figure all that out, you know. And Mary comes running up, and Mary's like saying, beehive, beehive, beehive. And I'm thinking, I'm allergic to bees. Like, keep them out. You know what I'm saying? But as she kept getting closer, I heard her correctly. She was saying, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And we're going, who's alive, who's alive? And she said, she was at the tomb, and the tomb was empty. And she said that there was an angel there. And the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay, he is risen. And so, me and John, we hightailed it down there. And if John says he beat me, he's totally lying, all right? I beat him, FYI, all right, you know? And we get down there, and I'm looking in that tomb, and it is empty. There's nothing in there, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what does this mean? What does this mean? And John is right there. John is so good with words. He should write a book. He is so good with words. And John said, don't you get it, Peter? This is everything Jesus said he was going to do, and you did it, and it's done. Let's go. This is so great.
Wait, yeah. The angel said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay. He is risen. You've risen. Let's go. This
he
is
said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter. Go tell the disciples and Peter. You said my name. Why did you say my name?
Peter, that's grace.
No, I don't deserve that, because that night people kept coming up to me asking me if I belonged to you, if I was with you, and I kept denying you left and right, all right? No, it'll take me my whole life to make up for what I did. It was unforgivable for
no,
what I did.
No. What I did on the cross was meant to take what is unforgivable and make it forgivable. That's my grace. It's not about you. It's always about me. That's grace, Peter.
Well, as we kind of wrap this up, I can relate so well to what I saw there. I'm wondering, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Is there an area of your life where you've given up, where you've lost hope, where you don't understand what's going on? Today, if there is, I'd like you to just write down three references. They're not on your little outline. Write down Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. 19, and my God will meet all your needs, not some, all your needs, according to his riches of glory in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4:19. The last one, Mark 10:27. With man this is possible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Will you say that with me out loud? All things are possible with God. Right now, there's some of you that are here, and you're struggling. Maybe in the area of somebody's hurt you, of forgiving them. You're struggling with something in your life, and you try, and you keep getting defeated by it, and you're not seeing that victory. You're struggling, and you wonder, is there hope? And the good news, the great news this morning is there is a living hope in our resurrected Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and paid in full the price of all of your sins. So I've asked Doug to come up, and he's going to come up. And what I would like to do is just ask you maybe to bow your head and your heart as he's coming up here. And this is the challenge to you, and I'm speaking to some of you who are Christ followers, And some of you maybe who are not Christ followers. But I'm speaking to you that, to Christ followers right now, that you have no hope. But you realize you need to turn it off of that situation. You need to turn off those inner feelings that are taking you the wrong direction, maybe advice from others, and you need to see what does God say and act on it. And if you would like prayer this morning, I'm going to ask you just raise your hand and keep it up so that we could see it. And you're saying to Pastor Doug and myself, you know, I'm in a tough situation, or I'm struggling, or I just need prayer. Would you please pray for me this morning? And I'll ask Doug then to offer a prayer on all of your behalf. So if you're here, just raise your hand and say, I need prayer. Okay, and give us time to acknowledge that, okay? Anybody else over here? Thank you. I want prayer. Thank you. Okay, anyone else? Okay, thank you. Look over here today. I need prayer. I want some prayer. Would you just slip up your hand? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, Pastor Doug, you pray.
Let me just ask you all to be praying for one another. You may not have seen who raised your hand. We didn't ask you to do that. But just be praying for people as I lead us in prayer. Father, you are the God of all hope. The God who gives grace, forgiveness, power. He's alive. And so for those who've raised their hands, those who almost raised their hands didn't, but they have some very hurting needs, minister to their hearts, Lord. Minister to them with the comfort of your word and the encouragement and the challenge of your word. May they find that hope. May they find in you the God of hope who promises joy and peace as we trust in you. So we can overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to be victorious. We don't want to be sinking in the water. We want to keep our eyes on you. Lord, in a very special way, touch the hearts of those who raise their hands. Let them know your blessing is upon them as you draw them close to you. If there's hope for Peter, there's hope for each one of them. Thank you, Father, for your blessed hope. In Jesus' name, amen.
Two quick things before we take up an offering here. Number one, you'll note on your outline that there's the opportunity. It says down at the bottom, if there's hope for Peter, there's hope for. Many of you know a family member, somebody you work with, go to school with, all kinds of people who are hurting. And allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Start praying for someone if you know. And if you don't, maybe ask how people are doing, and not as a greeting, but actually want to hear how they're doing and listen to them. And that will open the door for you to share about the living hope in Jesus Christ. And then finally, I'm going to bow your heads if you would again quickly. I'm sorry, I've gone over a little bit here. But if you would bow your heads, I believe that today there are some of you that are here and you've never experienced the living hope of Jesus Christ. Like some of the illustrations I use with people you may have known about Christ, this may be fairly new to you, but you know enough to know that Jesus Christ is God's Son, was born of a virgin without sin, never sinned, tempted in every way in which we could be tempted. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Well, if you were born without sin and you never sinned, you didn't deserve to die. And Christ was the perfect, the only one who could be a sacrifice because he had no sin. And he literally hung on that cross for your sins and my sins. And the Bible says, but to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And God wants you to be a part of his family this morning. And he'll never force his way in. But if this morning you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that He died on the cross, He rose from that grave, and He's alive today, and you want to receive Him into your heart and life, do that. Many times there are people who say, well, I was so young, I've often wondered about assurance. I think I did, I'm not sure I understood or not. Then maybe this morning God is saying to you, not taking away anything that happened, but drive that stake down. Drive that stake down. Give your life to me and ask Christ to take control every area of your life as your Savior and Lord. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And if you'd like to, you can pray silently. God knows what you're thinking. Or you can pray in a whisper, however you want. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus, I believe you are God's Son, that you died on the cross and paid in full the price for all of my sins. Jesus, come into my life as my Savior and Lord. Help me now, Jesus, as I surrender my life to you, to each day seek to do those things that are pleasing to God. Thanks, Jesus, for coming into my heart, for forgiving me of my sins, and for giving to me eternal life. With our heads bowed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you prayed that prayer and asked for that assurance that you've never had, then I'd like you to look up. I'm just going to look up. Raise your hand and look up because it's hard. Say, I prayed that prayer. I prayed that prayer. Okay, I'm just going to look over here. Is there anybody over here that would say, I prayed that prayer today and received Christ into my heart and into my life? Well, you can know on the assurance of God's word, if you prayed that prayer, He came in and He's not going to leave or forsake you. But He wants you to grow. He wants you to grow in your walk with Him. We're going to take up the offering at this time, and then we'll have our closing song, and we'll be dismissed.
Oh, let me encourage you to take the communication card. Register your presence. We pray for you. And maybe you made a decision. Maybe you just made one in your heart. You can put that on the card. You can click for pastors only if you need to.